Well, hello, everyone. This is James Dobson with Family Talk, and we have a wonderful program planned for you today. But before we get to it, I would like to bring to your attention something important. I mean important, that's happening on Capitol Hill at this time, and I think you would want to know about it. So we're just going to take several minutes to share it with you. To help me discuss this issue, I've invited Congressman Trent Franks to join us by phone. He's a Republican who represents Arizona's 2nd District, and we've been friends for at least 20 years, maybe longer than that. Welcome, Congressman Franks, to Family Talk.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be on, Jim. I'll just take 1 second and tell you, you know that you're a hero to millions, but I certainly am among them.
Well, it goes two ways, and I told you before we went on the air today that you have been a hero of mine, and I don't think I've ever disagreed with a single vote that you have cast in all this time, because your heart is right where mine is. And that's certainly true of the bill that you have co-sponsored now in the House of Representatives, and it seeks to help protect unborn life. And it's called the Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act. Explain what it is you're trying to get accomplished there.
Well, sir, first of all, it is predicated on one simple foundational fact, that the most critical civil right of all, of course, is the right to live. If people take that from you, the rest of the so-called civil rights are of no consequence. And this bill says that no one can discriminate against an unborn child by subjecting the child to an abortion based on their sex or race. It's one of those things that, you know, you think, how could anyone be against it? But unfortunately, there are some who will be, because it speaks to a larger question. You know, if we protect children on the basis of saying that they can't be discriminated against on the basis of sex or race, then we're actually speaking to the personhood of the child. And the reality in America is that thousands of little girls have been aborted simply because they're little girls instead of little boys, a sex selection. And right now, today, an astonishing statistic is a floor of around 42%, but it's between 40 and 50% total of all African-American babies are aborted before they're born. Now, those are statistics that should assault the conscience of every American. And this bill seeks to address that in a way that will cause all of us to take a second look at this issue and begin to recognize the humanity of the child and the inhumanity of what it's done to them, in a way that maybe we haven't looked at before.
That is a form of genocide, isn't it?
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, the reality is, when you consider that between 40 and 50% of all African-American babies are aborted, fully 25% of the entire African-American population of the United States is missing. And when you consider that internationally, worldwide, that somewhere between 1 and 200 million little baby girls, perhaps even more, are missing from the world population because of sex selection abortion, simply aborted because they were the wrong sex. It is something that, if we can't come together as a human family on that, then perhaps it's so late in the day that it's too late for all of us.
Isn't it incredible that the women's movement is in favor of killing the unborn child, which results in their own sex, those that they supposedly are fighting for and attempting to promote, actually results in the death of far more female babies?
Well, and that's the conundrum that the left now has to deal with this bill. They have to say, okay, we're either going to have to tell the whole world that we favor aborting a little girl because she's a little girl instead of a little boy, or we're going to have to say, no, we don't favor that. And then they have to explain their reasoning. And that puts a tremendous conundrum on them. And my hope is that, you know, we're not just trying to throw the left a curve, but that we're trying to enlighten all of America, that somehow we begin to realize, hey, what are we doing? You know, it's amazing how we're never quite so eloquent as when we decry the crimes of a past generation, whether it was the Holocaust in Europe or slavery in America, we're always thinking how blind were they, and certainly they were blind. But that attests to our blindness today because over 50 million little babies have been aborted in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. So
that is just so shocking. Imagine killing a baby because it is female or of a race that you don't value. That's essentially what H.R. 3541 is trying to prohibit, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And again, it's something that resonates in the hearts of most reasonable, compassionate Americans. And there are those, Jim, I'll be very direct, there are those that say, well, Trent, you know, you've always had a bigger agenda. You want to go to the heart of Roe versus Wade. And you know what? I'm tired of denying that. I've always been very open about that. I want someday for bills like this to lead to an awakening in America that says, hey, wait a minute. We're going to protect children of all sexes and all races just because they're children of God. That's why we're going to protect them. And if we don't wake up to that fact, then we really undermine the very core foundation of what America was all about when it said, you know, that we are all created, and that's what makes us equal.
Oh, my. Well, tell us how we can be of help here. You want our listeners to call Congress and ask the House Republican leadership to bring H.R. 3541 to the House floor for a vote. And when you call the Capitol switchboard number, which we're going to give in a moment, the operator will want to know who you want to speak to. You ask to speak to the offices of the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, Majority Leader Eric Cantor, Majority Whip Kevin McCarthy, and Judiciary Committee Chairman Lamar Smith. And that Capitol switchboard number is 202-224-3121. Again, it's 202-224-3121. And Lou Ann and Ryan will provide that information by way of our website. So did I get it right? Is that what you want to say?
Yes, more than anything else. Now, I will tell you that the House leadership, I think, is very much in favor of this bill. The challenge is that Planned Parenthood, as you know, as you've seen them do with the Susan G. Komen issue, they are very shrill and they're just bullies, and they want to make sure that things like this don't get voted on. So we're going to need the House leadership to be courageous and let this bill get a vote. If it gets a vote, it passes. It's that fundamentally simple.
Congressman Trent Franks, thank you so much for what you're doing now and what you have done through the years to defend righteousness and life in this great country. You are greatly appreciated.
Well, so are you, sir. God bless you.
God be with you as you lead this very important piece of legislation.
Thank you.
And before we go ahead and join the program that we already had planned for today, I do need to let our listeners know that this message today has been paid for by Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
And again, we will have all this information available at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk as we finish out a week of programming that's focused on getting you involved as a Christian here in America. I'm Ryan Dobson here with Lou Ann Crane.
And our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. And at Ryan, it is fascinating for all of us here at Family Talk to watch up close your dad's passion for defending righteousness in the culture. And, you know, it just kind of shifts into high gear here during an election year.
Well, Lewin, there's no other way to say it except that my dad has a love for the truth of the scripture and a love for the nation that is deeply rooted in the very heart of his convictions. And our listeners have heard quite a bit of evidence of that lately as we've discussed here on Family Talk how our freedoms are being stripped away from us here in America.
Well, and it's a topic that's not just on our hearts and minds, but also on the minds of many listeners as well. So today we're going to give people the tools they need to protect our American liberties and really vote their values this election year.
And my dad was recently interviewed by Mr. Bill Dallas, a man who has committed himself to doubling the number of Christians who will head to the polls this fall.
Amen to that.
That is a daunting task,
Luann. It is.
Bill Dallas is the CEO of United in Purpose and the former CEO of the Church Communication Network, which is a satellite and internet communications company serving over 6,000 churches in North America.
And he also hosts a weekly satellite program with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. That's called Solutions. Bill Dallas lives in Northern California with his wife and his daughter.
As a part of his work encouraging Christians to vote, he's organized a movement called Champion the Vote and recently hosted a conference call urging those who support Judeo-Christian values to show up at the polls. My dad joined in with him on that call, and we're going to let our listeners hear those inspiring words they had to share.
Yeah, Ryan, I think listeners will find that this conversation we're about to hear really captures the sense of urgency that we're all feeling right now. So let's join the discussion as Bill Dallas welcomed your dad to the conversation here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Dr. Dobson, thank you so much for joining us and being on this call with people joining us all around the country. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you, Bill, and it's a pleasure to join you. This subject that we're going to talk about is so critical, particularly now.
And, you know, I opened up the call by saying that you may be the greatest champion of family, particularly in our country. I'm sure everybody that's joined this call realizes in some ways the Christian culture is deteriorating. Well, the more secular culture is progressing. In your opinion, can it change? Will it always degrade, or can we as Christians, who I like to say we're sometimes a sleeping giant, there's so many of us, but we're kind of asleep, can it ever change, or is it continually going to degrade, Dr. Dobson?
Well, I really don't know which direction it's going. We're in a crossroads right now. In fact, I think this year may turn out to be a pivotal year for the family and for the country, because I'm not sure really where the American people are going to take it this fall. Some people say the traditional family is outdated and they'd really like to get rid of it. And to the contrary, from my point of view, the family is the ground floor. It's the foundation for everything of value in the nation. Everything sits on that structure. Our institutions, our democratic form of government, the health and welfare of our children, everything depends on the stability of the family unit itself. And if it is undermined and tampered with, which is threatened right now, the entire superstructure could come crashing down. And everything else is secondary to that, because it also involves our faith in being able to transmit what we believe to the next generation. This has happened in other nations where they have forgotten the fundamentals, and it could happen here. For more than 5,000 years, men and women have related to each other within the institution of marriage. And, of course, for Christians, we know that it all began in the Garden of Eden, when the Creator said in Genesis 2:24, "For this cause a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." That divine design for mankind was right there in the beginning, the second chapter of Genesis, and it's been evident on every continent on earth ever since. And God help us if we now throw it on the ash heap of history. And I pray that we will have the sense not to do that.
But some would say, Dr. Dobson, you know, I watch, you know, what's going on in the media, or you watch what's going on in the government, or you hear other, you know, people saying, well, that's outdated. That was the traditional idea of a family was then, but we're in a much more enlightened culture now. We're in a progressive culture, and that was great for the old school people, but it's not as relevant today. What would you say to that?
Well, they're wrong, and I think history has proved them wrong to this point. Why now is Scripture not relevant? That's where we get our information. That's where our values and our beliefs come from. And now are Christians going to make up their own rules and think it all through from scratch? If we do, we'll pay a price for it because our children are involved.
A question here, then I want to go on to talk about, 2012, and I know we've got an election coming up, and I know you've got a position about Christians getting involved. Before we do that, though, let's go back, and we're talking about the structure of traditional family and how important that is to our country. Why do you think so many Christians, though, are not more vocal? In other words, and what I mean by that is they see the concern, but they aren't vocal in mobilizing their beliefs into culture. Why do you think Christians allow culture to override them or overrun them, and they don't get more engaged in the process?
Well, someone said the other day that as homosexuals came out of the closet, the Christians ran into it. And I think there's some validity to that. One reason that the gay community is so successful, and it was a strategy that was worked out in the 1940s, but one reason that they've been so successful in making their argument is because they have made a very compelling case for human rights and anti-discrimination. And obviously, we all agree with that. And Christians do not want any of their fellow human beings to be denied basic rights and human rights and be subjected to discrimination. And Christians see the logic in that argument, but that live and let live concept makes it easier for gays and lesbians to fight for the agenda of their cause, including homosexual adoption, homosexual marriage, and what's going on right now in California and Massachusetts, which is without question the most egregious state law that is on the books today, where speaking of California, from kindergarten to grade 12, every single year and in most classes, the teacher is required to teach the contributions and the great benefit not only of homosexuality through the years, but bisexuality and transgendered sexuality and lesbianism. And it starts in kindergarten. Yeah, so can you imagine this? We're talking about five-year-olds toddling off to school on their wobbly little legs, and they get there, and a teacher with all the authority that can be invested in an adult stands before them. They're sitting on the floor with their legs crossed and begins telling them about adult perverse behavior. I mean, that takes my breath away that parents in California would allow their tiny little babies to be subjected to this. And they also, at that age, at age five, children will believe absolutely anything you tell them. You tell five-year-olds that Santa Claus can go down every chimney in the whole world in one night and bring gifts with him. They'll believe that, if you make it convincing enough. And so what we're actually doing there is indoctrinating children, regardless of what their parents believe or think or have taught and what the Bible teaches. And the school is giving 13 years to this objective. That's unconscionable to me. And how it can be linked to anti-discrimination and, human rights is a real stretch. And yet many Christians buy into it and accept it.
And in just a minute, I'm going to open the lines to some questions. But I for everybody listening on this call, I think this is very important what Dr. Dobson has kind of laid out, right? Is he's kind of showed the game plan of how one segment determines how they're going to kind of put their imprint on culture. And what we at Champion the Vote say is there are Christians around the country that are watching. In fact, you're listening to this phone call, and I'm sure things are stirring inside of you. You can hear Dr. Dobson's passion, and you've got a passion as well. Say, well, we want to change and do something. Well, we say all along, first you've got to wake up. You've got to get off of the sideline and get in the game. Because as the Christians, we really are the majority. We are the largest segment of people in the United States when you look at segments. Yet we do not dictate what's happening in our country because we sit on the sideline for some of the reasons that Dr. Dobson has just mentioned. And we at Champion the Vote, we want to get people involved in the process. And initially, we want people to be registered and want to be voting. We want you to have a say in what's happening. And I'm about to ask Dr. Dobson a question here, and should Christians be involved in politics? But I will tell you this. We do believe that people, you not only have the right, you have the responsibility. But if you're listening on this call and things are stirring inside of you, get engaged in the process. If you're a champion, we've got action items for you at championthevote.com. If you're not involved with Champion the Vote, go to the website. There's a video right there. You can watch it right on the homepage at championthevote.com, and then you can sign up to become a champion, which ultimately is helping Christians talk to other Christians about getting involved in the process so we can have our fingerprint on culture as well. We certainly aren't against anybody. What we are is we're for Christians having a voice in the process. And so that leads me to my last question, Dr. Dobson. Should Christians really be engaged in the political process? I mean, a lot of Christians say, listen, this is earthly stuff. We really should focus our citizenship on heaven, as it says in Philippians 3:20. We should not be involved in the public square. What would you say?
Well, people who take that extreme interpretation of Scripture seem to be unaware that this great representative form of government is, you know, which was given to us by the founding fathers, is the source of our freedom to worship as we choose and to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Now, I would really like to underscore what I want to say right now. Abraham Lincoln said at the Gettysburg Address that this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And the assumption is, I think, that includes all of us, not just people who have no faith. Why are we not part of the government? And why would we not have the right to participate and be represented in this government? We're each 1/300,000,000th part of this government, and we have an obligation to protect and defend the freedoms that it provides to us. And it's very disturbing to me that nearly 50% of our citizens don't even bother to vote at election time. You know, they won't invest 15 minutes every 2 to 4 years to let their own voices be heard. And frankly, they don't deserve the freedom that we've been granted if they're not willing to defend it and to see that it is represented. And believe me, we could lose it, especially now when the foundations of this country are challenged from every side. And I beg your participants here to participate and be involved. And Bill, thank you so much for what you all are doing at Champions the Vote. This is a very worthy cause, and that's why I chose to be with you today.
And we are so glad that both of these men, Mr. Bill Dallas and our host on Family Talk here, Dr. James Dobson, are doing what they can to urge Christians to take our responsibility to vote very seriously.
Well, Luann, my dad just mentioned all of the current threats against our freedom, and we had a number of conversations on Family Talk recently that discussed those at length. Mm-hmm. And I encourage our listeners to educate themselves by going to drjamesdobson.org and clicking on the broadcast tab to access those programs.
And also at drjamesdobson.org, of course, you can learn a lot more about the Champion the Vote movement. We've linked to their website where you can learn how to register to vote. Or if you are already politically involved, they've got some great ideas about how we can motivate our friends and neighbors, even ideas on how to spread the word, like by email or phone calls or on Facebook.
Well, and all this is especially timely, Luann, because over a dozen primaries or caucuses will be held in the next few weeks, including Super Tuesday. Tuesday on March 3rd, when citizens in 10 different states will go to the polls to nominate their party's candidate. And then, of course, there's the all-important national presidential election coming up in November.
So again, connect with Champion the Vote at drjamesdobson.org. Ryan, just think seriously of the difference that would make if all 60 million Christians let their voices be heard on Election Day, I tell you.
Well, you can get excited about that thought, that's for sure. To our listeners, thanks for finishing out your week with us. And this closing reminder that Family Talk is totally listener-supported, and we are not able to continue bringing you crucial information about our religious liberties and our freedom without your financial help. So when you're at drjamesdobson.org, would you consider clicking on that Donate tab and sending along at least a small contribution at this time, because we would really appreciate it.
We certainly would. If you prefer to call us, the phone number, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday when we'll hear from a very outspoken Christian leader, the pastor of the 10,000-member First Baptist Church of Dallas, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Don't miss it right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.